some of you may remember that we occasionally present young stars for whom we predict top movie stardom. Well, several of them have already made the grade, and this week's star is now the proud possessor of Moviedom's top award, the Oscar. Some of you may remember his outstanding work in So Dear to My Heart and in The Window, which won for him the Academy Award as the foremost juvenile actor of that year. Of course, he's a little older now, but we're still very happy indeed to welcome him back to our radio theater, Mr. Bobby Driscoll.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mitchell. I listened to the program last week, and I sure liked the story. I'm glad that I'm going to have a chance to play in the sequel.
Well, I'm sure that a great many people are looking forward to your performance, Bobby, and I personally am looking forward to a little talk with you after the final curtain.
I'll meet you right here, Mr. Mitchell.
Fine. Thank you, Bobby Driscoll. And now, here is our announcer. Curtain is up, and here is the play.
Gerald? Gerald!
Yes, Ma?
Are you here in the storeroom?
Yes, Ma, I am. Right over here behind...
I declare, Gerald Clemens, the older you get, the harder it is to find you. You're always off somewhere, in your mind, anyhow. I've been looking the whole house over for you, from the top to the bottom. What in the world are you doing in here?
Gee, Ma, you sent me in here to clean up the storeroom.
Horses.
Huh, Ma?
Horses. I was saying to Mrs. Maxey only the other day, that's all he thinks about. You smell of horses, Gerald.
Oh, but gee, Ma, it's what I like. Horses and guns. But I like horses best.
Have you been to those racetrack stables again, Gerald?
Yes, Ma.
Don't stammer.
No, Ma. I only went to see Jim. And Ma Jim says maybe Mr. Burley will give me a job. He's in charge of the stables, Mr. Burley is. And Jim says maybe Mr. Burley will give me a job to help Jim in the mornings with the horses. A real job, with pay for it and everything. Gee, Ma, wouldn't that be neat?
I never saw a boy with such a one-track mind. It's horses or guns the livelong day, as if he was bewitched, Gerald, by Roy Rogers or somebody.
But wouldn't it be neat, Ma? Jim even used to be a jockey himself, and there's nothing about horses he don't know.
Well, now then, would you look here?
What, Ma?
In this old trunk you've dragged out. Here.
That's just some of Pop's old stuff.
Yes, your pa's ice skates from when he was a boy. And here, look at this. Rah, 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 Oberlin College. That he had this old pennant when he was in school. But down under here, this is what I mean.
Gee, what's that stuff, Ma?
Old buckskin jacket.
Gee, look at all the fringe. Just like they were in the cowboy movies.
And here's some cowboy boots.
Oh, but Ma, they're so small.
They are.
I don't see how Pa could have worn them.
I don't think this stuff is your pa's, Gerald.
You don't, Ma?
No, but I think I know whose things they are.
Well, what do you mean, Ma?
Never mind.
Hey, look here, almost at the very bottom of the trunk. Look, Ma.
What?
Real six-shooters and holsters and everything. Gee, Ma, could I, do you think I could have them,
you
please?
Put those guns right back down, Gerald Clemens.
Oh, gosh, Ma.
Put them back in the trunk, I said.
Oh, all right.
That's better.
Gee, Ma, I don't see why I can't...
Just as I thought.
What, Ma?
These old yellow newspaper clippings here with these other things. Here, Gerald, read this one. Then you'll know why I don't want you fooling around with guns.
All right, Ma.
Go ahead.
Yes, Ma. It says, August 11th, 1882, Thompson City.
Go on.
This outlaw associated with the renowned...
Renowned.
With the renowned and deceased Billy the Kid... Come to Thompson City on Wednesday and shot up the carnival what had come from Albuquerque, where good business was dead. Not very bad hurt was Sheriff Andy Banning and three other people worse. A girl carnival sharpshooter by the name of Mary Clemens ran off with this desperado, and folks here agree she must have been a Confederate. This Mary Clemens...
Mary Clemens. Now, do you see, Gerald? These things in the bottom of this trunk belong to Mary Clemens. She was your great-grandmother.
Gosh.
On your father's side. Your great-grandma was an outlaw and a bandit, and the disgrace and shame of your pa's family the last 60 years.
Gee, gosh.
Come on, Gerald. Help me drag this trunk out in the kitchen. The minute your pa comes home, we'll decide how to get rid of these things.
Yes, Ma. But, Ma, I wish I could keep great-grandma's guns.
Oh, do you? I don't think you understand, Gerald, the shame and disgrace of being descended from a common outlaw. We've always tried to be decent, law-abiding folks. Anyhow, we have on my side of the family. And you have to try doubly hard, Gerald, knowing of the bad blood that's come to you from your great-grandma.
Yes, Ma.
Oh, come on, then. Help me with this trunk.
Yes, Ma.
Well, would you look here? Here's a picture of her down in the... Good heavens.
What's the matter, Ma?
Would you look at this?
Let me see.
Look at this picture of your great-grandma. The same eyes, the same straw-colored hair, the freckles even.
Gee, Willikers, Ma.
You look just like her.
Gee, Ma, I guess I do.
Well, and you are like her, Gerald. Crazy about guns and horses.
Yes, Ma, but
you look like her, and you are like her. And mind what I say, Gerald Clemens. If I'm any prophet, you'll turn out like her, too.
Do you think she's pretty, Jim?
She sure is. Now, you just sit on that stool for another minute, Gerald, and I'll have this mare all polished, slicker than a merry-go-round pony. Yep, she sure is pretty.
I didn't mean the mare, Jim.
Hmm?
I met my great-grandma, the one who disgraced the family. Do you think I look like her?
Well, now, let's have another look at that picture, partner.
Here you are. I sneaked it out of the house.
Well, it's amazing.
I look just like her, don't I?
What I'd say it is a throwback.
Throwback, Jim?
Well, you take Roan Victory. You remember me telling about her, huh?
Yes, Jim.
Well, when I was 16 and a little runt and still a jock, see, I rode her in the Medfield Handicap 6 furlongs. That was her maiden race. Well, Gerald, she was out in front all the way and in by 4 lengths, and she turned out to be the fastest filly in the East. But her colts, all platers, all cheap platers that run dead last every time out.
You told me, Jim.
Yeah, but I didn't tell you about Sunrise Strawberry. That's the 2-year-old that took the $20,000 added at Washington Park and broke the track record for 5.5 furlongs.
Yes, Jim?
Well, I see Sunrise Strawberry's picture in a Sunday Express Rota Gravure last week, and there was Roan Victory right over again. Same color and every marking just the same. So I looked up the form on Sunrise Strawberry, and Sunrise Strawberry was the great-great-grandson of Roan Victory. Now, that's what we call a throwback, Gerald.
And it's the same with me and great-grandma, like with Sunrise Strawberry and Roan Victory? I'll be just like her?
That's right.
And I can't help it?
That's right. You're a throwback.
Oh. Well, I guess I better be going home, Jim.
Huh? Well, we'll stick around till Mr. Burley shows up. I talked to him about you, Gerald, about you working here. He said he thought it'd be all right.
Thanks a lot, Jim, but I guess I'll be going.
Well, don't you want the job? Look, Mr. Burley thinks he can use you here at the stables. Why, you was crazy to get the chance to be around the horses.
Well, I know that, Jim, and thanks a lot for talking to Mr. Burley. But I guess I better stay away from horses for a while.
Hey, now, what's got into you?
It ain't nothing, Jim. Really, it ain't. It's only I better stay away from horses a while. And guns, too.
Finish drying the dishes, Gerald. Pa and I are due at the wedding at 1:30, and you know how your pa is about being punctual.
Yes, Ma.
Be careful when you dry that fruit dish. It's valuable. Now, don't drop it.
No, Ma.
Oh, I was forgetting. Your pa said you could have those guns if you'd file off the firing pins or something anyway so that they won't shoot. Those 2 guns that belong to your great-grandma, I mean, Gerald.
Yes, Ma.
Your pa said the damage was done. There was no harm in your having the guns so long as they were fixed so they wouldn't shoot. Well, Gerald.
Yes, Ma.
Don't you want them?
Oh, yes, Ma. Sure I do.
Oh, I think it's very generous of your pa, considering the shame the very mention of your great-grandma brings him.
Are you ready, Gertrude?
Yes, John.
It's 1:08.
I'm all ready, dear. Just let me get out of this late.
Well, hurry up. If Herb's fool enough to get married, I guess we've got to go and watch him do it.
Yes, John.
No need to be late.
No, John. John?
Hmm?
Gerald's very glad that you're going to let him have his great-grandma's gun. Aren't you, Gerald?
Yes, I am, Ma.
Well, tell your pa, Gerald. Tell your pa.
Yes, I am, Pa.
Now, Gerald, we'll be back about 3:30. If anybody comes to the house, don't let them in. You just hook the screen door after us to be sure.
I will, Ma.
And don't moon around.
No, Pa.
Come on, Gertrude.
Yes, John. Goodbye, Gerald.
Bye, Ma.
And don't moon around. Dreaming don't get you nowhere. You wake up one fine day. That's what happens.
Yes, Pa.
Hook the screen, Gerald.
I will, Ma. I will. I won't go near the guns. I can't change my freckles or my straw-colored hair any more than strawberry can help me in a ruin-colored horse. But I don't have to act like my great-grandma. I don't have to be a disgrace to the family. Maybe if I give up liking horses and guns, but it certainly wouldn't hurt just for me to look at them. Guess those guns ought to be right down here, right here under this stuff. Gee, guns are good sometimes. Sometimes the hero's quick on the draw, and the villain comes along, and... Who's there?
Just a friend, son. Just a friend. Come on over here to the screen door. I want to talk to you for a minute.
We'll return in just a moment with Act Two of the Movie Town Radio Theater's presentation of The Throwback, starring Bobby Driscoll. And now, here is our announcer.
Is your mother at home, my fine young man?
No, she isn't.
Is your sister at home, my bucko?
I haven't got a sister.
Ah. Uh-huh.
Anyway, there's nobody home except me.
Brave protector of the house, are you? Well, look here what I've got to show you. Now, my bucko, it won't bite. It won't bite. There's nothing in the world to fear.
What is it? What is it you got there in your hand?
Here in my hand? What is it? All right, I'll tell you. It's Mr. O'Connor. Here in the shut-up palm of my hand is Mr. O'Connor. What's your name?
Gerald Clemens.
Mr. O'Connor, meet Gerald Clemens.
He's a turtle, a little turtle.
He is a turtle. And were you to give this starved and famished traveler food, he would be your turtle.
I can't do that. I can't let nobody in the house.
Oh, well, it's kismet.
Hmm?
Fate. I've come a long and bitter way, my lad. A bitter, bitter and a long, long way. And I am hungry. 20 days and 20 nights. No food for 20 days and 20 nights. Not a morsel.
Gee whiz, that's an awful long time to go without eating.
Ah, well, it's fate. Oh!
Is something the matter, mister?
No, nothing's the matter. Just my... Oh. Just my heart.
Gosh, that's serious. Well, my folks will be home at 3:30, and they'll give you something to eat. I know they will.
My little hero, by 3:30, I shall be dead.
Gee!
Dead of hunger. By 3:30, this body will lie on the street with its feet up, and this soul will be in heaven. You will save a life, my boy, if you feed this weak and stricken creature. And you will save a soul.
But Ma said I wasn't to let nobody in the house.
And besides, you'll get Mr. O'Connor as a gift, free of charge.
Well, I guess you can come in.
Oh, thank you. And would you mind putting those guns away? I've been superstitious about guns ever since a railroad bull chased me in Kansas City one time. Well, that was some feed. Now, is there a match on the premises?
Yes, sir. Here's a whole box full. Here you are.
Thank you. After a full meal, there's nothing like a good cigar. And I just happen to have a butt in my coat pocket.
You ain't hungry anymore?
For the moment, no.
You'll be all right.
You worried about something, Sonny?
No.
You sure, Bucko?
No, I'm not worried.
Maybe you're worried about what your Ma and your Pa think when they come home. Find you've let somebody in the house.
No, I don't worry about that. It'll be all right.
But I was forgetting. I promised you Mr. O'Connor.
No, that's all right. Now, you don't have to do that.
Oh, nonsense, he's yours. If I can just find where he's gotten to. He's right here in this side coat pocket. Ah, here we are. Mr. O'Connor, meet your new lord and master.
Then he's my turtle now?
He is. And do you by any chance think that Mr. O'Connor is just an ordinary turtle?
Well, I don't know.
You don't. That's good. And you're quite right. Indeed, Mr. O'Connor is not an ordinary turtle. Watch. Abacadabra, presto, change your signals. Hike!
He's gone! Mr. O'Connor's gone!
Gone, vanished, disappeared, evaporated.
But where'd he go to?
Aha! Presto, hesto, hesto, presto, barbaresto. There you are.
Gosh! Gee, mister, you took Mr. O'Connor right out of my hair.
That I did indeed.
Hey, that was a neat trick.
Trick? Did you say trick? It was not a trick. It was a miracle.
A miracle? Like in Sunday school, you mean?
The same, same.
But Reverend Peabody says that only saints and people like that could...
My son, one moment. Who do you think I am? Do you for one moment go so far as to presume that I am just a man?
Well, gosh, I...
Very well, I accept your apology. A miracle. And how is it that I am able to pass miracles? I will tell you. Because, my lad, I am an archangel, come plumb smack dab down from heaven, dressed up like a person to find out who are the good ones here on earth and who are the bad ones. Here you are. Mr. O'Connor is yours. This turtle is yours. I promised him to you, and I give him to you. Archangels on their word.
Well, gee, thanks.
Don't mention it. Now I must be on my way. But before I go, in recognition of your kindness to me, I'll pass another miracle for you. I'll grant you a wish. One wish, but that's all. Now, what do you want more than anything else in the world?
I guess not to be...
Go ahead, make your wish.
I wish not to be... Not to grow up to be... I mean, an outlaw, and a bandit, and a disgrace to my family, like my great-grandma.
You wish not to grow up to be an outlaw? You wish not to grow up to be an outlaw, and a bandit, and a disgrace to your family, like your great-grandma? That will be a miracle. And I pass it. I say it, and what I say goes. Well, so long, Bucko. I'd better be on my way.
Goodbye.
And thanks for the lunch.
In the dishes. Now if I can...
And I pass it. I say it, and what I say goes. Well, so long, Bucko. I'd better be on my way.
Goodbye.
And thanks for the lunch.
Well, Mr. O'Connor, that takes care of washing the dishes. Now if I can just get this stuff put away... Uh-oh, that's Ma and Pa's car. Gee, Mr. O'Connor, we're in for it now. Here, get out of the way. I'll hide these cookies. No, there won't be time. I better hide you, though. They'll be sore. They might take you away from me. Gee, where'll I hide you? I know, in the trunk. That old trunk with all the stuff of my great-grandma's. In here. Sorry to do this to you, Mr. O'Connor. But I just got to. Oh, hi, Ma. Hi, Pa. How was Uncle Herbert's wedding? Nice?
Gerald, that screen door was unlocked. Now, I told you to hook it.
I know you did, Ma, but...
Has anybody been in here?
Well, no, Ma.
Have you been smoking cigars, son?
Gee, Pa, no.
Somebody has.
Let me smell your breath.
Yes, Ma.
That's queer. John, you try. Come here and smell his breath. I don't believe he's been smoking.
He's been eating, though.
What do you mean, John?
Half the apple pie you baked for tonight's supper is gone.
Gerald.
And half the angel food cake. Well, here in the icebox. Just about the whole 2 pounds of Swiss cheese I got at the market this morning. Eaten up.
Gerald. Gerald Clements.
Well, Ma, I mean,
but
I...
What I'd like to know, son, how did you manage to eat half of that 5-pound baked ham?
Well, I'll tell you, Pa.
Yes, I think you'd better. We'll have a long talk about it in my room. Oh, and on the way there, I wish you'd do me a little favor, son.
Yes, Pa?
Stop in the bathroom and get my razor strap.
I hope poor Mr. O'Connor hasn't smothered in this trunk, but this is the first time the coast's been clear. There, now it's open. Mr. O'Connor? Mr. O'Connor? Hey, Mr. O'Connor, where is he? Mr. O'Connor, where are you? He ain't in here. Not under great-grandma's buckskin jacket. He's gone. He ain't any place in this trunk. Wait a second. Here's a rip in the lining. I'll bet he's crawled in back of the lining. I'll just get my hand back inside, like this. Mr. O'Connor, there you are. I can feel you with my hand. And, hey, wait a second. There's something else in here with Mr. O'Connor. It's a piece of paper. A great big piece of paper, like a letter. The last will and testament of Mary Clemens. Gee, my great-grandma. Dated the 7th day of October in the year 1885.
Even now, I can't tell the story. It must remain a secret. But I can write it. Write it and conceal it in the lining of the theatrical trunk that holds my few earthly possessions. Perhaps someday, when the story can be made public, this, my last will and testament, will be found. For my heirs, executors, administrators, and assigns, the story of my death.
What's up, Gerald? What's the matter?
Jim, she wasn't an outlaw.
Huh?
She wasn't a bandit, my great-grandma.
Well, now, what's this all about?
Look, here on this piece of paper. She wrote it herself.
Yeah, now, let me see that paper. Let's see what it says.
I found it in the lining of the trunk.
Yeah?
She hid it there. You see, she couldn't tell a true story then. I mean, in those days. But he was my great-grandpa.
What? Who both? Look here, partner. You're not making much sense. Now, you just take it easy while I glance at this thing and find out what this is all about. Let's see. Now, it says that he was... as I see it, your great-grandpa was a sort of, what today we'd call an undercover man.
Yeah, he pretended to be an outlaw to mix with the other outlaws, just to find out about him. But really, he was a kind of policeman, but nobody knew that.
Yeah, that's what it says, all right.
And even after he got himself killed, my great-grandma couldn't tell anybody that he wasn't an outlaw. Because then all the other undercover men would have... What's that word, Jim?
Jeopardy. So she let her husband and later herself be buried as outlaws rather than put anybody else in danger. So that's how it was. Well, you know, Gerald, you know, I wouldn't mind being a throwback to folks like that if I was you. Sounds to me like they was heroes.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess they were. Gee, Jim, I'm glad to be a throwback. I'm glad to be a throwback to my grandpa. And Jim...
Hmm?
Do you think Mr. Burley would still give me that job, working here in the stables in the mornings? Do you, Jim?
I think he would, Gerald. I think he would.
And the curtain falls on Act Two of the Movie Town Radio Theater's presentation of The Throwback, starring Bobby Driscoll, who returns in just a moment. And our star, Bobby Driscoll. Well, Bobby, you did a mighty fine job.
Thank you, Mr. Mitchell.
Now, just before we went on the air, you and I were talking about various motion pictures that you've appeared in and the various roles that you've played. And as I remembered, you mentioned Treasure Island. You know, that used to be one of my favorite stories when I was a youngster. Also, you made it in England, and my having been over there several times recently makes me ask you this question, Bobby. Did you have any fun when you were making Treasure Island?
Oh, it was a lot of fun, Mr. Mitchell. I just thought of all the actors as Long John Silver and Dr. Livesey and Captain Billy Bones and the rest of the characters in Treasure Island instead of actors, and it was just like playing pirates.
Well, Bobby, I've always thought that Treasure Island was Robert Louis Stevenson's greatest adventure story. Walt Disney plus Robert Louis Stevenson plus Technicolor and Bobby Driscoll should add up to a very good picture. And I hope that your work continues to be just like playing pirates. Come back and play with us again sometime, will you?
I'd like that very much, Mr. Mitchell.
Thank you, Bobby Driscoll. And thanks, too, to Miss Anne Dvorak for playing Mary, the great-grandmother. Others in the cast were Marty Margette as Ma, Bill Boucher as Pa, Herb Vigran was Jim, and Don Sheldon was the stranger. The Throwback was written by William Fifield, edited by Bud Lesser. Music composed and conducted by Del Castillo, and produced and directed by yours truly, Les Mitchell.